Welcome back to Elevate, where we are highlighting issues of our community that matter most to you. Today, we have an incredible guest with us, Lloyd Cambridge, who's all the way from New York City, who's in studio with us today in Atlanta. Lloyd, welcome and thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You were on a fireside chat with us a few weeks ago.
Yep. Looking forward to this conversation. That was fun. This is going to be fun as well. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to dive into Lloyd's bio, and then we're going to talk about today. Our topic is entrepreneurship. And we're going to be digging deeper into why entrepreneurship is important, some of the key ways to be successful as an entrepreneur or to take your business to the next level. So Lloyd Cambridge is the founder and CEO of Progress Playbook, which is a small business training and economic development consultancy. Progress Playbook's clients include New York City Department of Small Business Services, City Harvest, Brooklyn Children's Museum, the Actors Fund, and New York City Housing Authority, amongst many more clients. Prior to starting Progress Playbook, Lloyd was the director of New York City Business Solutions, and prior to that, he was an underwriter and credit analyst at JPMorgan Chase for their middle market division. Lloyd has supported over 10,000 entrepreneurs and business owners throughout his career, and has shared his expertise on entrepreneurship and business development with organizations like Goldman Sachs. He earned a BS in economics from NYU and is the alumni of the Curl Leadership Network. That's incredible. And you're so young. You've done all this stuff.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, it's been a dream, a pleasure, a passion.
Yeah. Well, we talked before about like what made you get started, but I really want to hear that story again, especially for those that did not hear the fireside chat. But what was it that really led you to getting started in finance and entrepreneurship?
So I grew up in Brownsville, Brooklyn, low income neighborhood, you know, very common story, unfortunately, for a lot of folks.
Sure.
But just growing up in that neighborhood, I always wanted to, have nice clothes and, just kind of go out and do things like that. But also, help my family, help my community at a really young age.
And that's incredible.
And for me, entrepreneurship was the fastest way that I can think of to make all those things happen.
Wow. Did you have any like mentors or people in your family that were entrepreneurs where you can glean from like their examples?
So when I was younger, I never actually started a business. It was just like always a passion, a dream.
Wow.
But my mom did sell like arts and crafts.
Yeah.
And things that she used to make. And it would do like what we call pop-up shops today.
Yes.
Like she would do that way back in the day. So.
Wow.
Definitely some inspiration from her.
Yeah, so definitely in your blood. And entrepreneurship, I think, was, we didn't probably give it credit, right? Back in, I don't know, let's say the 80s or like early 90s.
Exactly.
I can remember like one of these things that my uncles used to do, which was like sell balloons and lights is what we would call them. Yeah. They would make like $5,000 from one day. That was entrepreneurship.
Absolutely.
But we probably didn't really give it credit for being entrepreneurship. Well, tell me more about Progress Playbook. What got you started into Progress Playbook, and what has it been like so far?
Yeah, so I started Progress Playbook about 7 years ago.
Wow.
It's been a long time. But essentially, I wanted to really customize training.
Sure.
Because I didn't think that there was like a cookie cutter approach to starting and building a business that, especially for Black and Brown low income individuals, that we needed something that was a little bit more specific. So the first several years, we really developed curriculum for a lot of, and programs for different organizations. So it was like, we need you to design something for bodega owners in New York.
I love that.
For,
that's incredible.
Small retailers, Caribbean retailers. So we got a lot of experience designing different types of programs for different groups.
What did you see was like one of the major challenges that those small businesses were facing when you were working with them?
Yeah, I mean, and this is the beauty about doing things that are customized. We kind of changed our model a little bit today, but the customization piece, I think, allows you to see different problems or pain points for different types of entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So if we were talking to like a bodega mm-hmm. owner in New York City or corner store owner, mm-hmm. You know, you got to think about what type of content they need mm-hmm. to advance their businesses, but also how they want to consume the content.
Right.
So this is the customization piece. But
right.
in terms of the challenges are pretty much the same everywhere. mm-hmm. A lot of folks they are great at maybe building a product or they
sure.
have a lot of creativity, but like learning how to manage the back end of a business.
Managing it, right.
Right, it tends to be the problem. So like the paperwork, you know, legal and compliance, kind of really looking
Absolutely.
Through, you know, so you won't get fined. Making sure you're staying on top of regulations, getting access to capital.
Right.
So a lot of the challenges are the same, but I would say a lot of it is really back end support.
Sure.
System creation so that you can be in a position to be able to scale and grow your business. So, yeah, there's a whole list. But I'm going to wrap it all up and say back end.
While you're saying it, it sounds so familiar to me. All the things you said, I can remember stumbling and really trying to figure these things out. And I always tell people I didn't have a mentor or a progress playbook mm-hmm. to give me a customized curriculum on how to scale. I had to learn everything through trial and error, and it was very costly. Mm-hmm. Cost me a lot of money. And I wished it was a progress playbook when I started a little over 10 years ago. But I'm glad that you guys are doing the work that you are.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, it feels really good. We love the work. And we see like the difference that, you know, that we're making in communities. So
yeah.
It's really great.
So you were a credit analyst mm-hmm. at JP Morgan Chase. Mm-hmm. Some people would frown and some people would smile. Tell us, what were you doing in that position and what are some of the things that you gained insight into?
Yeah, so I started that like right out of college. I was an analyst for Chase.
Awesome.
I went to NYU and, you know, it was like the sexy job to be a banker
right.
out of college. Like, yeah, I want to be a banker.
Right.
Make a lot of money. So that was the first thing. Although I did love numbers and all the things. I was there for about 4 years. Mm-hmm. So I supported other analysts and other
sure.
relationship managers in terms of kind of with the in the industry of apparel, textile, and jewelry. So we only mm-hmm. funded apparel, textile, and jewelry companies like Zales and
oh, wow.
Eileen Fisher, like, were in our portfolio.
It's incredible.
So it was asset-based lending. So we would lend money against the assets of a business, like their accounts receivables, their inventory, mm-hmm. And other intellectual assets that they may have had.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was a great experience. I really got to learn about the financials, which is really important, and be able mm-hmm. to break down a balance sheet, income statement, all the stuff to understand how a business moves and thinking about both the internal and external things that impact a company's ability to repay mm-hmm. a loan from the Fed.
Right. That's a good way to put it. Right. To repay. Yeah.
So yeah, it was a good experience that I think I was able to leverage to do a lot of the work that I'm doing today. It also inspired me as well, because there were a ton of businesses in our portfolio, you know, most of them making like $200 million a year mm-hmm. in sales or more.
Right.
And none of them, you know, were black or brown. It would look like, you know, many of them, I would say like 99% of the portfolio.
That's a huge percentage.
Yeah. So I was like, well, why aren't more black and brown folks like in this middle market range, at least in, you know, in the apparel, textile, and jewelry industry?
Sure.
So that also kind of motivated me to want to start Progress Playbook as well. Yeah.
Wow.
To get more there.
That number. Yeah. No, I mean, that number it's mind blowing. It's, you know, I can't remember the statistic of small businesses that are minority owned that receive federal contracts, but I know it's less than 3%. So that number is very consistent with what's going on a larger scale, that not a lot of minority businesses are in that mid-size or higher end in terms of what they're making. Why do you believe this is the case?
Well, when I was at Chase or JP Morgan, like a lot of the businesses in our portfolio were like family-owned businesses. So many of the businesses are like passed down.
That's huge.
From one generation to the next. Or if it wasn't passed down per se, it was a new business that was being started, they were still able to leverage their family's relationships. I remember when this one company. I don't know if I should say it, but
please say. We want to hear.
It's a cosmetics company that's really big now.
Uh-huh. Confidentiality. We won't say the cosmetic name, but yep.
But they sell like $1, $2 makeup products and lipsticks and all types of stuff. But, you know, it's a publicly traded company.
Sure.
But his father, the founder of that company, his father started another apparel business. And he was able to essentially leverage his father's relationships, like manufacturing in China, for example, to be able to start.
Wow.
So, you know, a lot of the businesses were family owned.
Sure.
That were selling to like Walmarts and Targets.
Wow.
So I think, you know, another story is like when I visited one of the businesses, we would have to visit businesses. You know, there was a young gentleman, he part of the family business. He had to be like 13 or something.
Oh, wow.
But he was able to kind of like really articulate.
That's incredible.
Talk about the family business in a way that was like really intelligent.
Yeah.
And did some of the numbers. I was like, wow. Like when I was 13, I wanted that type of, you know.
Right. Ability.
Ability to be able to spit off what a balance sheet is and
yeah.
all these things to understand a family business. So some of it, you know, as we know, is just, you know, legacy. I'm gonna say. So we have the power to do the same thing. Yeah. I think in black and brown neighborhoods, obviously. And, you know, I want to be able to support and help us to, as much as I can, do my part because we all have work to do.
So how do we get access to this type of capital? Small businesses that are not in that mid-sized level, they're just starting out, or maybe they're in their first 7 years of operation. They're under that $1 million threshold or way underneath that $10 million. How do they gain access to capital?
Yeah, I mean, there's different types of capital. Like for me, you know, and it also depends on the type of business that you have.
Sure.
You know, and I think every story is different.
Yeah.
You know, I could talk about my story as a service-based business and other stories as well. For me, it was like really just largely based off of relationships.
Sure.
So like my ability to develop strong relationships, because to me, like everything that you need is in a relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So whether it's capital or whether it's mentorship or it is whatever. When it comes to capital or when it comes to getting access to resources, if you're able to develop, nurture the right relationships, it'll get you from level to level. Like the access to the resources and the capital opens up once you have the right relationships. So for me, that was when I first started Progress Playbook. You know, I got my first client through a relationship. And literally like every other client since then, for the most part, has been through a relationship or a word of mouth. I mean, obviously you should have like a what we call a sales funnel where you're actually able to kind of be more predictive in terms of the customers that you're bringing in, which is another conversation. But in terms of being able to open up the doors for additional funding, for me, has all and customers largely has come from strong connections, right? So we just recently got an advisor, you know, who himself was an entrepreneur, sold his company for like $300 million. And now he's an advisor. He's also an investor.
Wow.
That came as a result of just doing the good work.
Yeah.
And just connecting with as many people as possible. And you just never know like where those connections will lead you to, and also the power of just doing good work will always, I think, also open the door to more opportunities and resources.
Well, I'm dying to hear like a success story. One client that you're really just proud of that you want to highlight that you've worked with, that you helped to either start or scale their business. Can you share that?
Yeah. I mean, so we develop incubators for those that are not familiar. So we have incubators that really help people to start for-profit businesses and also social enterprises, so some nonprofit businesses as well that really help to build communities and neighborhoods. So I can go either way.
I'd love to hear both, like one on the social enterprise and then one on the for-profit. It'd be great to hear.
Yeah, so we do a lot of work in NYCHA housing. So it's public housing.
Yeah.
So this one gentleman has a company called New Leader Hoops that I talk about a lot. But he has a basketball camp
that
he does in Red Hook that we really love. I think I may have spoken about it last time we talked.
So cool, yeah.
But I just remember him, you know, being from, you know, Red Hook houses and not really understanding, I'm going to say, like, just really good at what he does.
Sure.
But not understanding the back end of business. And, you know, we were able to help him set up his nonprofit, connect him to attorneys and all these other things. And now he's like getting grants. He's able to grow his organization, build a team.
Yes.
You know, partnerships with like the Brooklyn Nets and Amazon.
That's incredible.
Just like the relationship piece I was talking about, like being able to build that in a neighborhood and being able to uplift a lot of the people in Red Hook, I think is really amazing.
Yeah.
So definitely a big, powerful success story. Mm-hmm. And getting grants from Amazon and keep going, IKEA.
Yes. Wow.
And then I have another young lady who also in Red Hook as well, who was able to open up, you know, also from NYCHA, was able to open up her own, you know, kind of going back to Chase to talk about apparel. She is a seamstress from Red Hook and was able to open up her own storefront in the Lower East Side in New York City. And also hire a team.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like really good to see like humble beginnings. And even if it's just like a specific level that they get to, it's like, I'm really, really proud of both of them. I'm not going to disclose their sales.
No, I tell you, when I hear this story, it really warms my heart. And then I start to think how much more talent is sitting there.
Oh yeah.
Potential that's just sitting there that's untapped into that really needs a progress playbook or someone that's going to see its value and its worth and really invest in it and help it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like entrepreneurship and like our approach is more of a long-term investment.
Yeah.
It just takes a long time to like figure it out. Like your business model is changing.
Absolutely.
You know, the type of support you need, it changes. And as you go from level to level, there's a different level of preparedness.
Sure.
That you need to have at that level. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So we want to be able to support people to, you know, to get from zero literally to like $1 million in sales.
Yes.
But there's, you know, at each of those levels, whether you're at the 10,000 level, the $100,000 level, you have to show up differently.
Oh, yeah.
And your business has to also show up differently at each level. And we want to support entrepreneurs at each of those
levels. At every level.
Until they get to that.
We're not going to stop at 1 million, y'all. We're going to go to a billion.
Yeah.
Because we need to be in that small division. But love that. What you're saying is, I'm thinking when you're talking about levels, my own company, and every time we went to a new level, I felt like I was climbing a mountain.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my goodness. You think like, okay, you have a bigger budget. Now, you know, your troubles go away.
No,
more money, more problems, right? Is that a movie?
You got to figure out all types of stuff. You didn't even think of.
Yes, audits, right?
Audits, we're just talking about that.
Yep.
So, yeah, you just need, like, there are other people that have done that's been there that need to be supporting you and I who are even, you know, at a greater level than we are. And then we are pulling other people up
that
are at different levels than us. So
that's incredible.
You know, it's that community piece. And I'm getting that from people that are above me, and I'm doing the same thing.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's like the circle of, what we call that, circle of, I don't know, purpose, circle of life. I didn't want to be like Lion King, circle of life. But no, it's incredible. It's like you have the mentors above you, but you're also the mentor to those that are striving to be on your level.
For sure.
And supporting them.
Yeah, and not thinking that you, even if you had a certain level that you know it all, that you, you know, like, I'm humble, I'm coachable. I'm like, yes, teach me, because I'm still striving.
Yes.
You know, there's still way more to go.
Wow.
And I think that's the attitude of an entrepreneur. Like, to me, is like, it's never good enough.
Right. That's hunger. An entrepreneur. You always want to get to that next. Yeah. Like, okay,
let me
what's
not
next?
Say it's not good enough. We are enough, but it's still an appetite for progress, for excellence, for more impact.
Yeah. To me, it sounds like you have created or designed the art and the science behind entrepreneurship. I think a lot of our, I think, former models have been focused more on the logistics of, okay, you got to do 1, 2, 3 to start a business. But being an entrepreneur is multifaceted, multidimensional, and there's many, like you said, levels to it. So there is no 1, 2, 3.
No.
There is no, it doesn't exist. There's so much involved in being able to start and manage a company and be successful at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you always got to pay attention to, I think, you first.
Yeah.
Like as the leader, like your mindset, your emotional intelligence, I'm constantly working on that.
That's awesome.
But it's good. It's hard, but it's good. Mm-hmm. That, like your business model, so your product, who it's for, how you're going to market it. And then like the back end, like how do you deliver that and also have profitability? So for me, at each level, you need to be looking at all of that.
Sure.
And there's different things you need to consider under those functions that I just named at each level. So for me, like even when I was at the bank, we would do quarterly and annual reviews of the businesses in our portfolio.
Wow.
All right. So same thing as a small business owner, I need to be doing a quarterly review, an annual review to see what changed, what worked, what didn't work. And I'm making adjustments to all of those pieces because they're both internal and external factors that are contributing towards how well we're doing.
Right.
Right. Whether the economy is changing. All right. How do I need to pivot? COVID is happening. How do I need to pivot?
All right. Yeah.
A team member, something happened. How do our customer goes away?
Yes.
It's constant iteration and pivoting based off of internal and external conditions.
That's so good. That's so good. And you stole a word of mine that I always use in my staff, iteration. Mm-hmm. When they're like, what are we doing, Ms. Moore? I'm like, we're iterating.
Yeah.
And they're like, no. But I'm like, yes, either it's a pivot or iteration.
Yeah.
But we don't know, you know, what we don't know. Yeah. We have to start. We have to pivot. We have to be able to try something different or new. Because a lot of times we're trailblazers. Mm-hmm. We're blazing the trail for something that hasn't happened yet. And that's pretty scary.
And the market is changing. Like, you can't stay stagnant the same.
It's changing so fast.
Like, one is the pursuit to just be, to put the greatest product and deliver that to the world and have the greatest amount of impact and added the most amount of value to the world through your what you're doing. And with that intention, there's a whole bunch of other things competing to, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I think all of it is still working towards your good if we have the right mindset towards it, but you got to be cognizant of all the factors.
Mm-hmm. And just the digital space, it's evolving like every minute. There's AI now, metaverse, that's changing the way we do business.
Right.
I'm just like, okay, now we got to learn AI. And now, you know, it's so funny when we're having business meetings, my staff AI show up before them.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, at least your AIs are on time, but you're not, you know. But it's just so interesting how the digital space is changing everything.
Yeah. So that too, like we have to stay on top of, you know, what's happening in the digital landscape and how that's impacting, you know, I think all parts of our business.
Yeah.
So the other thing, in addition to having a relationship plan, I think you should have like a learning plan. For yourself, for your team.
Sure.
Because, you know, sometimes it's easy to, you know, especially as your business begins to grow, like to just do the work, which like working in the business, as they say, but you need to work on it as well. And the part of working on it is being intentional about your learning. And there are a lot of different ways you can do that. I think part of that is through reflection, through journaling.
I love reflection. Like, that's awesome.
You know, your day-to-day, but also literally magazines, books, mentors. I just hired a coach, hiring coaches.
Yes.
Like if you're really hungry and you're really serious about growth, like it's going to require an investment. And that investment, you have to be intentional with that investment.
Yeah. That's so good. Professional development, personal development. Because there's something called the law of the lid. I don't know if you heard of it. Mm-hmm. It's in John Maxwell, 21, Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And he talks about the law of the lid. And the leader can't go or can't take his business higher than where he is.
Personally.
So if you want to go higher, you're like, okay, you got to go to that next level in order for your business to scale its capacity.
For sure. And you can start small. Like right now I have a coach that I pay, you know, a little under $2,000 a month for, which is a lot of money. But, you know, I couldn't afford that years ago.
Right.
But I started out with other entrepreneurs.
Right.
Like a network of entrepreneurs, right? So I'm just saying, there's always something that you can do at each level. And as you continue to evolve, there could be other types of resources that open up to you at different levels. But just start with what's in your hand.
Yeah.
And just work with that. And then you'll see it grow.
That is so powerful. start with what's in your hand and you work with that, you will see results. You can't be discouraged and give up because some people are just like, it didn't work the first, second, third time. Yeah. I'm stopping, but you got to keep pushing.
Got to keep going. Persistence is the name of the game with entrepreneurship for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like even if, you know, my first, I had a couple of other little startups that I started before Progress Playbook. Didn't go anywhere, but I learned a lot that positioned me to do what I'm doing now. So, yeah.
That's awesome. So you've done so much in 7 years. Where do you see, how do you see yourself changing the world like in the next 7 years?
That's a great question. Yeah, the first 7 years, we were doing a lot of consulting for different organizations, helping them to design their programs and curriculum. And now we're like, we want our own model, our own program, and still help other organizations, obviously. but we just believe in this concept of helping people to, you know, we believe in the intersection between entrepreneurship and community development.
That's awesome.
Or neighborhood development. So how do we leverage business to build places and to build people? So we're developing a model that we believe will help entrepreneurs to do both. Like, why can't we design the business, the life, and the communities that we love?
I love that.
You know, yeah.
That's incredible.
Sometimes people don't have a mechanism to know how to pour back into their community.
Yeah.
Right? So a lot of people that come from neighborhoods like where I came from in Brownsville will make it out, leave.
Never look back.
And don't look back because they don't have a mechanism to know how to pour back in. So we want to begin to create some of those mechanisms for business owners and entrepreneurs going through our programs and outside of that to be able to pour back into to neighborhoods.
That reminds me of Black Wall Street. I feel like we've gotten it. We had the model at some point and course we know the tragedy that happened with that, but I feel like we're self-sustaining as communities of color. Everything we need exists within our communities.
For sure.
And there is a way to have the life in communities we want through entrepreneurship.
Yeah, entrepreneurship is all about is one of many tools, but when you think about entrepreneurship, it's really all about problem solving. It's like,
I love that.
We're just going around solving problems and getting paid to solve them for those problems.
Yes.
And everybody benefits, you know?
Yes.
So we're just looking for more problem solvers that are committed.
Committed problem solvers.
Committed problem solvers.
I love that.
Because you got to go through the ups and downs.
Yes. Yes. That there is a story behind that, the ups and downs. But, you know, I call it problem zero. Or zero, which means you have to go to the ground, which is what problem are you solving?
Yeah.
What are you trying to do? And if there's a problem you see, you might be the one to solve that problem in your community.
For sure. For sure. Yeah.
Any advice that you can give to those that are listening and they're either trying to start their own companies or they're trying to give back, how would you advise them? Where do they start first?
Yeah, if you're trying to start your own business, so much advice that I could give. If they're like, where do I start there?
so much. It's layered.
It is layered. You know, I think the most important thing is always like working on self, kind of going back to
that
piece.
That's good. That's really good.
Again, like your business, you know, like even launching it, sometimes people are like, fear is the thing that stops them. That was me for a long time.
Right.
But I had like a support network that kicked me in the butt and said, all right, I'm tired of hearing you talking about starting. Like,
do it.
Go.
Right.
So they finally pushed me out the window and here we are.
Excellent.
Later. But having like that type of support system, I think is really important. Building the relationships. A lot of stuff that we spoke about. Working on yourself.
Building
amazing relationships.
Yeah.
Understanding that it's a journey and not a marathon, and at each level you
can so good
pivot and change and
so
you never really arrive.
Right. You know?
And just kind of starting with what's in your hand, like whatever resources you have, relationships that you have, like what can I do to get that first customer?
Sure.
And then from there just do a really amazing job at whatever it is. through tears, sweat, blood, whatever you have to do a good job. Mm-hmm. And then it will open the door, I think, to more opportunities because, yeah, you're doing a great job. It's going to spread.
That's golden advice. Most people say start with a business plan. But you dealt with the whole person.
Yeah.
You dealt with their mind, their emotions, and then the reality of what you got to do in this, you know, physically to get started. Mm-hmm. But I love the fact that you said start with working on you. Because a lot of business owners or entrepreneurs don't realize that a lot of entrepreneurship is psychological. Mm-hmm. You can't deal with mental pressure. Mm-hmm. You cannot be a sustaining, mm-mm, successful entrepreneur. You got to be able to deal with pressure on different levels.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yep. Yep. And you have to continue to increase your capacity,
yeah,
to handle, emotionally handle.
Yeah.
Because as you go from level to level, there's more responsibility, mm-hmm, team, resources, mm-hmm, investors.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, just you and, you know, mm-hmm, you. Now you're responsible, yep, to way more people.
Yeah.
And that has a weight.
It's a weight. It's a weight of leadership.
Yeah. It's a good weight.
But it
it's
is.
A weight, but you need to build your capacity emotionally and mentally and spiritually in all, yeah, the ways to handle it.
And physically.
And physically.
That's a big one. We can't talk about that today, but y'all, you got to be in shape as a business owner.
For real.
Because a lot of business owners deal with health issues.
Oh, yeah.
Anxiety, yeah, depression, and hypertension, and heart disease. Mm-hmm. So take care of yourself physically, too.
Yeah, that's a big one that we don't talk enough about. Mm-hmm. Dealing with the weights of, like, the anxiety, all the stuff you just said.
Yeah.
And we know what to do, but sometimes
we don't do it.
We don't do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, mm-hmm, but yeah, I think like in community, we grow from level to level in community through relationships. Mm-hmm. But if you connect, I think, with other entrepreneurs that are doing that.
Yeah.
When I look at my friends, I'm like, oh, you working out? I'm going to work. You know?
Right.
So like, just being like your friends, like that circle that you put yourself around. Mm-hmm. So just putting, I think that's one way to support, doing it is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's putting yourself around the right people.
That's good.
Yeah.
And it's all about people too.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be successful without people. Like you need to find your people, the right people. And all of it, again, like you said, is around relationship.
Mm-hmm. This whole, yeah, thing is relationship driven.
It's relationship driven.
Is it?
It is. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, Lloyd, it's been such a pleasure having you. I always enjoy talking to you. You are, I think, I don't only see you as an entrepreneur, but like you're an architect. Like this is what you do. You're architecturing, whatever the word is, new structures, new, yeah, curriculum, new models. Mm-hmm. And you're really pushing us to think differently. And I think that's what we need in this era.
Thank you. Thank you. We're still figuring it out, but definitely pushing, definitely thinking differently. For,
yeah,
sure. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us, for taking time out of your busy schedule all the way in Atlanta. We caught him in Atlanta, y'all, and we're going to catch him again.
Yeah, I'll be back.
So, no, we appreciate you so much. Progress Playbook. We definitely have to connect more about the work that you're doing. I'm excited about it.
Likewise. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And guys, thank you so, so much for tuning in to today's episode. Lloyd, if people want to reach you, they're interested in your services, how can they find you?
ProgressPlaybook.com, at ProgressPlaybook everywhere, social media. You can find us there on our website, ProgressPlaybook.com.
Reach out, guys, if you need help or if you want to take your business to the next level. Guys, we're really excited again about this series. Please do us a favor and share this out to your colleagues and your friends so that they can get the information as well. We love you guys so much. Stay tuned. We'll be back.